Tonight I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he's neglected. The Holy Spirit is neglected. And I wanted him this year, I just wanted to focus more and more on him. I know the Father, I know Jesus, but I want to spend time with the Holy Spirit. Because he's supposed to be closer than a friend to me. He's supposed to help and guide me. And as we look into the names of the Holy Spirit, I just wanted to focus on him. This year I wanted to... It says if you want somebody to be a friend with you, you have to show yourself friendly. Okay? So I want him as my friend. I want him to stick close to me. I want him to guide my words, what I say and what I do. And that's what he's there for. So these verses may not be in any particular order, but these were how I received them, so this is how I'm going to give them. And so the Holy Spirit in, I like to give you a little bit of wisdom with the Greek and the Hebrew translations, means breath or wind. Some of these as holy, as personal workers, we know about the Holy Spirit and how he works. But I just want to get more intimate with him and to know him better and better. So the Holy Spirit is breath and wind, and it both apply to the Holy Spirit. But in Genesis 2:7, it says God breathed. What did God breathe? God breathed on Adam. Well, before he was called Adam, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And I was going through and I was looking at this, and it says, and Jesus breathed also. And who did he breathe on? He breathed on his disciples in John 20:22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now he breathed on them. Jesus was still alive, see? But he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Okay? And we'll go further on and we'll find out more about this. The Holy Spirit as wind we find in John 3:6 through 8. For time's sake, because there are so many verses, I had Duane write them out for me. After I had did all of my notes and was in my room and knocked my ginger ale all over them, I brought my soggy wet notes to my husband and said, I need help. So he dried them out in front of the pellet stove. And we went from there. And when he helps me with my notes, sometimes they're thoughts. Sometimes I put on paper, and then I have to find the verse that goes with that thought because I know that thought is a verse, but I don't know how to put it together. Okay? This is things that you can learn. And the Holy Ghost is so good at putting things together that when you're ignorant of the ways of God, he does it. And you just go along for the ride and look good because he's done everything. And all you have to do is just stand here and give out what you get. So the whole, in John 3:6 through 7, it says, the Holy Spirit as wind, we find in that verse, those verses, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Jesus was talking here to Nicodemus about the new birth. In the Greek, the same word is translated in one verse in this passage as spirit. And then the last part of it is as wind. But it's the same Holy Spirit. The Spirit, like the wind, comes and goes as he wishes. You don't dictate to the Holy Ghost on how he's going to work and where and when he's going to work. Okay? Also, we need the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Without the wind, the air is motionless and useless. If you think about that, they call it dead air. There's nothing there. There's no movement, nothing. But the Holy Ghost is movement. Boy, is he. And there will be no life. The wind of the Spirit brings life. The Holy Spirit is life-giving. John 6:63. And it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. And in 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And then there was a verse in Ezekiel, and I know he's talking to Israel here, but it's talking about the power of the Holy Ghost when he starts working. In Ezekiel 37, verses 8 through 10, and this is prophesying. Indeed, as I looked, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and that's these dry bones, remember, and the flesh covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Okay, there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet as an exceedingly great army. When we start talking about this, the Holy Spirit is dunamis power. And in the Strong's 1411, and that's the original originated from 1410, is called force. The Greek word meaning miraculous power, ability, abundance, meaning mighty, worker of miracles, power, strength, violence, and mighty work. That's dunamis power. When God's involved in things, there will be power. Things will happen that don't normally happen. And when Ezekiel prophesied to those dry, dead bones, life came into them. But it's the Holy Ghost, the Father God, that had to breathe into them to bring them to life. Okay? So there's times you can make things happen, but if the breath of God isn't on it, it's not going to do nothing. It'll just be a dead work. Okay? And if you're spiritually dead and very dry, the Holy Spirit breathes on you and puts fresh life into you tonight. As we can see, the room is not full. The Holy Spirit has to deal with each individual as he wills, not as I will, but as he wills for each individual. And then the wind of God wants to blow upon the church and bring fresh life. When we accept Jesus Christ and surrender our lives to him, the wind of God has and will blow upon his people. And that's Acts 1:8. Both you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Yeah, and Dwayne was reminding me, it doesn't say do witnessing. It's be a witness. When you've got the Holy Ghost on you, you're going to be a witness. But when you go out on your own strength, you're just treading in mud. Okay? You have to have the Holy Ghost in you and with you to be effective. to cause things to happen in other people's lives. And it's not you, it's the Holy Ghost using you. You're just a tool in the Holy Ghost's hands. Okay, and Acts 6:10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Okay, when you speak and let the Holy Ghost use you to speak to people, they're not going to be able to resist. They cannot resist the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Because he is the convicting power, and we'll see that later on too. The Holy Spirit and the Word is a cleansing power. The cleansing power of the Word of God. John 15:3. You are already clean because of the word which and I have spoken to you. And then the Holy Spirit wants to talk to the church. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, the quickened power of the Holy Spirit. These are verses. There's six pages of notes, but they're all the word of God, because they're all the verses of God, breathed by man, and put on paper so we can read them. So he wants to talk to us. He wants us to use his power to prophesy life into dead things. He wants to blow on the church and take out the chaff, and all the worthless things, and put in his way of doing things. And then the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. And it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We are containers for the Holy Ghost. And I want my container prepared and ready for him. When he wants to come and minister to somebody, I don't want to have just been sinning or doing things that it's not what you should be doing. I want to be ready. I want to be that ready, able-bodied minister of Jesus Christ. Okay. And then the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jehovah, which in Isaiah 11:2, we're talking about Jesus here. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. But this same Spirit is the same Spirit that comes upon us to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to have a body. The church, yes, but he has individual members in that body, which in Corinthians, I think it was 1 Corinthians 12, or is it 2 Corinthians 12? It talks about the Holy Spirit giving gifts to men and discerning. He wants to do this for us. Also, the Spirit of the living God. 2 Corinthians 3:3. Clearly, you are the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And God wants your heart. It's nice that we do, like we were talking earlier, it's nice that we give finances, but he wants our hearts. And when he has your hearts, he has everything else. I want to know him more and more. I want to know what makes him happy, what makes him sad. What do I do that causes him not to flow in my life? What do I do to be that instrument that's effective and that will truly touch people's hearts and make them hungry for God? Okay. And then it says, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, 9 through 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Simple as that. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So there's, how many times here it talks about the Holy Spirit in you? He's in you. So let's make our bodies the home of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it says here, he is Christ's gift. It's a gift. John 2:22, and I believe we've looked at that before. And when he said to them, when he had said this, he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So that Holy Spirit is the gift of God to you, to help you along the way while you do the things that you naturally have to do in this world and in the, with the people that are around you. You need the Holy Spirit. Okay. And then John 14:15-26. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. See, he's dwelling with you, and he's in you. And he says, and I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So this is that quiet time when you have with the Lord, when the Holy Spirit will come alongside and he'll interject something. Hey, look at that verse there. Did you see this right here? And if you're wanting to commune with the Holy Spirit, he wants to commune with you too. Okay. And a little longer, let's see, verse 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, and I will live, and you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you and me, and I and you. Verse 21. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Well, how's he manifest himself? By the Holy Spirit. Okay. And verse 22 says, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is this that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? By the Holy Spirit, which the world cannot receive because they don't know him. Okay? But you know him. And verse 23, and Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I want my home filled with the Lord and the Holy Ghost. Okay. And he who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So if you're not keeping the word of Jesus, you're not keeping the Father's word to you. Okay. In verse 25, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things which I said to you. I personally take that part of that verse and I cling to it when I go shopping and I forgot my list. And I say, Holy Ghost, what? I knew there was something I needed. I got everything, but there was one thing I couldn't remember. And I'm walking down the aisle and he's over here. And he'll say, milk. I'm going, how could I forget milk? Okay? It's the little things that he's interested in. Rachel Tiefer Teller. She's a great prayer, but she doesn't go anywhere without the Holy Ghost to help her. Okay? And there are, I can't remember the woman who, Aramite, no, the woman who was going grocery shopping and her husband asked her, is the Holy Ghost going? And she said, I believe she said, yes, but he was not going to go shopping with her if the Holy Ghost wasn't going shopping because he made the time short. He got everything on her list and they were out of the store. Okay? And sometimes you can go shopping and just get whatever you want. But there's times where time might be short and you really need to know exactly what is needed. And even when I've gone shopping and I've had my list and reminded me of the thing I forgot, as we're getting ready to go down the aisle, he'll say, but didn't you need this? And I went, yeah, I need that. But you know, when those thoughts come to you, it's the Holy Ghost. Thank him for it. Because the more you thank him, the more he'll help you. Okay? You have to acknowledge him. It's just not, oh, wasn't that a lucky break? I just remembered that. There's no luck in it. Not with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so, let's see. I forgot where it's at. Okay. John 7, 37 and 39. One of those really good when the Holy Ghost was really flowing, really strong. And all you had to do is say, is anybody thirsty? And we were all there, you know. Now it's, is anybody thirsty? There's a difference. Are you thirsty? Yeah. Are you thirsty? Nah, I'm not thirsty. Well, you've done cut your flow right off. And don't expect anything if that's the attitude with the Holy Ghost. So John 7, 37 and 39 says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has says, out of his heart or his belly will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Okay. And John 4:10, Jesus is talking to the woman of Samaria at the well. And they're drawing water. She's drawing water and Jesus asks for a drink. And she says, you don't have anything to get the water with. They were talking about two different drinks. Okay. There's natural water and there's spiritual water. Jesus answered in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, of who it is, says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Hallelujah. Living water. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ. John 16:13 through 15. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So we have a great storehouse of knowledge and wisdom by the Holy Ghost. When we need to know something, the Holy Ghost will tell us what the Father wants. Okay? The Holy Spirit is formed in you, forms Christ in you. Ephesians 3:16-17. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And I thought, well, Christ is formed in us. Because in Galatians 4:19, Paul was talking to the church at Galatia and said, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. And then I thought of Luke 1:35. And this is for the Christmas season. Hallelujah. It says, and the angel answered and said to Mary, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Well, if the Holy Spirit comes and overshadows Mary and she receives and gives birth to Jesus, much more the Holy Ghost by the Father God who comes upon us will bring that new birth into us, will give us that spiritual life that we need so desperately. And then the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. These are all things that the Holy Spirit is. Different names. Acts 2:32-33. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted at the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So, the Holy Spirit can be seen by what he does manifest himself in his presence. And you can hear him with your spiritual ear. And then the Holy Spirit is a Son. The Holy Spirit of his Son. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of his Son. Galatians 4:6. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The more and more you study the Holy Spirit, he shows you little different things of his character. I know when I first met my husband, there were things I didn't really know. I mean, I knew him, but I didn't know the little things. How we like certain things, how we didn't like certain things. When you have a relationship with somebody, you get to know their likes and dislikes. And you know what pleases them and doesn't please them. So as you walk with the Holy Ghost and you ask him, Holy Ghost, this pleases you. I know this pleases you. So I want to do what pleases him. But then there's times when I forget about that and I haven't fellowshipped with him in a while. And I'll go do something and I'll instantly feel grieved in my spirit. And I'll go, oh, I'm sorry, Holy Spirit. I shouldn't have done that. Or I shouldn't have said that. Mostly he corrects me on, you talk too quickly. You need to think before you speak. And so he'll just say, oh, shouldn't have said that. Okay, and sometimes I have to go back to the people and repent. Or they don't even have a clue what I said and what, you know, was wrong for me to say, which somebody else may have been able to say and it would have been okay. But for me, it was not the good thing to say. So you want to keep yourself tender towards the Holy Ghost so he can guide and direct you. And when he says something, you do it. And just think, oh, that's just a thought. And sometimes you do have thoughts. And sometimes they're not of God. But sometimes they're of God, and you've got to know the difference between God and not. Okay? And that also comes with relationship. So, Romans 8, 15 and 16. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So you can know that you're a child of God. You can know that the Holy Ghost will guide and direct you. You can know that no matter what you do, he still loves us. He'll still direct us. All we have to say is, I repent. I ask forgiveness, Father. Okay? And the Holy Spirit, you have to ask for him. Ask his help. But you also have to ask for him. You get the Holy Spirit as when you're born again. The Spirit comes to you, is in you. But when you want him to guide and direct you, you have to ask for him to come upon you to do the things that God wants you to do. To do the things that are daily necessary for us to do in the spirit of Christ. That people would want to be around us and not shy away from us, but be drawn to us. And sometimes the world, I remember a time I was saturated with the presence of God, and I didn't even know it because we were in these meetings, that the presence of God was so strong that you wore him as you went out. Okay, and some of you have been in meetings like, you've worn the presence of God on you. I went to the store, and I went to buy something, and it didn't happen at one store. It happened at two different stores in different parts of the town. So I knew it wasn't me, but I was understanding how the Holy Spirit can come upon you. Like when Peter walked through the crowd, that they laid the people out on stretchers to get healed. Well, because Peter had that presence of God for power for healing. Well, there's a presence and a power for God to be a witness. And when I went into the store to give the cashier the money, she would not touch me. She dropped the money in my hand. And the friend that I was with went, that's weird. Well, we went to another store, and we were going shopping. Because after the meetings, we had some time in between meetings to go and do some whatever we wanted to do. Go eat and do whatever. So we went to another store, and another person, and I handed my money to them, and they take it fast, and they give change, and they drop it in my hand. They didn't want to touch me. And I talked to my friend. I said, friend, what is the matter with me? Is there something wrong with me? No, there was nothing wrong, but the presence of God was on me, and they were convicted. And I didn't understand, it wasn't me, it was the presence of God on me. And sometimes we have to remember, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, but when we're witnessing to others, you want to wear the Holy Ghost. You want his presence on you, like a coat. You want to wear him with you. You want to know the tangible feeling. You know when the presence of God is on you. I call it the tinglies. Okay, and sometimes the tinglies will start at the bottom of your legs, and they'll go all the way up, and they'll be there for a little bit, and then they'll go away. So the presence of God, though you don't have to feel him to know that he's there, because you do that by faith, but I always tell the Holy Ghost, I like the tinglies, Holy Ghost. I like the feeling of God on me and with me. It's just, as a child, you like to know when you reach out that the father's hand's there or the mother's hand's there. It's a security, okay? You like to feel secure in God, and he wants you to feel secure. So you'll step out and do those things that you might not normally do, all right? Let's see. The Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So he's been promised to us. In salvation, we've received him. We've made his little nest in us and made him comfortable so he'll stay with us. Okay? And then Acts 1, 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard of me. You have heard from me." So that was before the Holy, before the disciples went out and started to minister. They waited for that promise of the Holy Spirit to come upon them, that endowment of power. And the Holy Spirit is the oil of gladness. I don't know about you, but there's some people that you go around, they are just bubbling. It's just their personality, you would say. Well, there are people that have that personality. They're just happy-go-lucky people, okay? But then there's the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you with that oil of gladness, it just seems to bubble out. Even if your head's maybe not really feeling real happy, but you just, it's like a fountain inside you. It just comes out. And you get around people and you'll just be happy. And you don't understand, why am I happy? I don't really feel happy. You know, I don't feel happy. Well, we don't go by feelings, okay? But they are nice, okay? They're that little warm, fuzzy, cuddly feelings, okay? So the oil of gladness is Hebrews 1:9. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And then my special favorite part, the last page, I kept it for special. Okay, and it says, the Holy Spirit is your comforter. Oh, he has comforted me in some situations. And John 16, 7 through 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, Jesus says. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they did not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So whatever the Father has, you do too, because of Jesus. That's a nice way of putting it, that there is nothing that you can't have that God wants for you to have. You just have to tap into what he has and know how to receive it by faith. Everything you receive by the Holy Ghost is by faith. I don't have a good example of, okay? But I know if the Holy Ghost says something to me, I can receive it because I hook my faith up with the Holy Ghost and you have it. It's a done deal. Okay? And I also like that he never says, the Holy Ghost never says anything, or Jesus never said anything that he didn't hear first from the Father. Okay? That's why he spent all that time on the mountainsides with no sleep, getting directions from the Father on what to do. That's why sometimes when we're tired out, because we spent time with the Lord. There are times when you're pressing in. You're pressing in. And that's how you'll get breakthroughs. If you keep on pressing in to the Word of God, keep on praying, keep on asking Him, Father, what is it that you will for me to do? Because there's a lot of people that don't know. His will is what you're doing right now, for now. And when you get hungry for more, then you'll press in and you'll get more. But you have to crawl before you can walk, and you have to walk before you can run. This is the steps of natural growth. This is the steps for spiritual growth. I'd like to get out there and start running, but I had to go step by step. Okay? And in that process, sometimes we make mistakes. And so the Holy Ghost just pulls us on back, and the Lord says, okay, let's take our time now, and let's not go so fast, because you won't get yourself in trouble. So when you go slow, you're not going to skid yourself up. And you're not going to have to wait to heal before you can go do something else, okay? That's a good thing. Okay, and then also in John 15:26, the Helper, the Holy Ghost is our Helper. He's a Comforter. But when the Helper comes, of whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. So you're going to hear about Jesus and the Holy Ghost. He's the one that does that. Okay, and in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sent in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said. So when you're studying the Word, I know there's people, they can quote back the Bible to you backwards and forwards with no problem. But I'm not gifted in that area where I can have instant recall. I know that there's a time and a place for everything, but He brings to remembrance. So I just thank you, Lord. I don't have a Rolodex for a brain, but I have the Holy Spirit. And when I need to know something, I just say, Holy Spirit, I got to know this. Help me find it. Where is it at? What I like about Pastor is sometimes he doesn't have any notes. He might have a verse, and then he just opens his mouth, and the stuff comes. Okay? That's what the Holy Ghost does for you. He just brings that out. And like Pastor said, he's no genius, but with Christ you can be. And so when he needs a verse, the Holy Ghost just tells him this and this. And he goes to it, and that's where he starts off at. Okay? We can't be afraid to step out of the boat, but we have to know the time and the place to do it so we don't skid and make problems and cause ripples for other people to have to clean up. Okay? But that we can do what he says to do. Okay? And then the Strong's Greek word is 3875, and it's called Paracletus. And we know that. We've heard it before. And he's an intercessor. When I'm having problems, he's there to intercede for me, to get me out of trouble, too. But he is also a consoler. And I don't know about you, but there's been times I needed consoling. Sometimes not even my husband could have consoled me. I had to go to him and just lay out on the floor and just cry out, I need you, Holy Ghost. I need help. Okay? And he's always been there. And he's our advocate. He's there. I call him the rah-rah. He's going, yeah, yeah, go, go. Okay? Or he's the one that says, whoa, whoa, okay? And you have to know when to go and when to whoa. Okay? That's the Holy Ghost. He does that. It's like he just plugs you in. He's like, bow, go for it. And then he'll go, he'll pull the plug and he'll say, okay, let's just wait a while. You're getting a little too speedy here. You know, and even kids, as kids, they want to go and do. But there's a time when you say, hey, it's a rest time now. Just sit back and relax and wait your instructions. Wait for instructions. Okay, and the need of a Savior. Oh, the Holy Ghost convicts the world of sin. You don't have to. That's what's so good. I used to think you had to convict people of sin. They don't need your help. They know they're sinners. Okay? But they need to know, not that they're sinners, but they need a Savior. Okay? And people don't, in the world, don't believe they need anybody. They're their own God. And there's even religions that teach, believe in yourself. Okay? Well, yes, I believe in whom God made me. I don't believe in me.
That's right.
Because I can screw up. Okay? So I go, okay, I believe, Holy Ghost, that this is what you want me to do. And either there's something, he'll come along and say, no, okay. Or he'll come along and say, not now. Not yet. And you have to be willing to wait. So many times people don't want to wait. They just want to go and do. You know, bless God, I'm anointed. I know I am. And I'm going to go shake the world for God. I've heard it. I've been part of it, okay? But I got, whoa, just hold your little old horses and just wait. If you don't know how to wait, you'll never know how to go. Not the right way, all right? So the world needs a Savior, and the world is of sin. John 16 8 through 11, then we'll start with verse 8. And when he has come, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. He's got his day coming. And then, it's going to be a quiet night. Well, maybe. Jude 20:1-20. But you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and that's praying in tongues. Building yourself up. Okay, the Holy Ghost comes alongside and is the helper. Like Dwayne was saying today, he's not the doer. You do, and he comes alongside and helps. Okay? I would like to just flake out and say, go do it, Holy Ghost. And sit down and relax. Well, this isn't the Holy Ghost. And once, I say when you're plugged in to the Holy Ghost, and you hear his voice, and you know he says, come here, Laura. You say, okay. You know, you better be ready to do what he wants to do and not say, I don't feel like it now. I don't want to. And that's okay. You can tell him, I don't want to, because he's the one that gives you the want to. Okay? And not convict you and say, you horrible Christian, you're not doing that. He'll just say, he's like, why don't you want to do that? Why? And then you can tell him, I don't want to do it because. And he might receive that answer for now. But he'll be back after you repent. Okay. After you repent. Okay. And then there's that spiritual wisdom that you've got to have. And that's by the Holy Ghost. And I didn't write this verse out, these verses out. So we're going to, I'll look at them. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2. We also had to dry out my Bible last night because it was with my notes and it got ginger ale on it. So, and there's nothing worse than a sticky Bible. It is not a good thing, okay? So we're going to start at verse 4. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. I'm with Brother Paul here. And my speech and my preaching, not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, not the wisdom of this age, nor of the ruler of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the age of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I'm expecting, because I love him and want to be prepared for that wisdom that he gives. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man, the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of him, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we have spoken, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Man can't understand tongues, because it's a spiritual thing. We understand because we have the wisdom of God. So tonight, whether you're dry or moist, I'll put it that way, or whether you're overflowing with the Holy Ghost, you know you have the wisdom of God, that when you need his touch, you can tap into him all yourself. You don't need hands laid on you. You just say, oh, Holy Spirit, I'm so hungry. You put your praise worship music on, but you don't need it. Like today, I just sat in my chair and thought about God, thought about the things he's done for me, thought about the Holy Ghost, thought about what he said to me and what he hasn't said, but what he's going to say to me. To put my position in to receive. I said, Lord, I need to receive. I need to have something to give. You don't come in and not have nothing to give. You always have the flow of the Holy Ghost that bubbles up, and he's always faithful. I've never come into a service that there wasn't something I could share with somebody because I spent time with God. When you spend time with God, you're going to have something to share. And not always is it with the people that you thought. Okay? That's the best part, because we can short-circuit our brains and just say, Lord, I'm coming prepared. I'm coming full of God. I know God resides in me, and I know he wants to flow out of me. So I'm coming prepared, and just help me know what to do with what I've been prepared with. Okay? Because sometimes God has prepared us, but not always do we know what that preparation was. Okay? As we step out, then he'll give you more. And so he's a good God. He doesn't give us more than we can comprehend and understand at the present, but he gives us enough to be hungry enough to want to keep on pressing into him, keep on wanting to know more of him. Like I told Duane, I said, we're like, or God's like, a diamond with all its facets. Just when you think that you kind of figured out how God works, he turns. One turn and another facet comes into place. So you don't ever really get to know all of him, but you get to know parts of him. And it's always the part you need at the time. That's the best thing. And the closer you get to him, the more I found that I change. Because what used to irritate me doesn't irritate me anymore because I've spent time with him. And it just seems like such foolishness that I would waste my time on such a dumb thing. Okay? So what may irritate you right now is going to be the lesson you learn from and how the Lord will show you next year. You can't even remember what it was. That's what's so good about him. And he doesn't, it's the devil that comes and pokes and said, you remember what so-and-so said to you? Didn't it irk you? Yeah. And the Holy Ghost says, didn't we already deal with that? So, you know, it's called growing. We grow in wisdom and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, hopefully you were imparted with a little bit of wisdom tonight by the Holy Ghost. And be encouraged. There's a whole new year coming up ahead. Make the Holy Ghost your best friend. You love God. You love Jesus. But love the Holy Ghost like never before. Because as this coming year is coming, you're going to need him to guide and direct you like never before. There's going to be opportunities to not want to listen, but we have to listen. Hallelujah.